Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Purpose Tune Podcast. The goal of my show is to create valuable content to broaden your knowledge, inspire you, and get you in the right mindset so that you can apply it in your own life to drive impact, generate meaning, and achieve your purpose. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Purpose Tune Podcast. My name is Kong Sheng, and I am the host of the show. The goal of this show is to create valuable content to broaden your knowledge, inspire you to act, and get you in the right mindset so you can apply it in your own life to drive impact, generate meaning, and achieve your purpose. Now, I'm extremely excited about today's guest. His name is Ken Lagi. He is a former NFL athlete turned life dating success coach for established top performers specializing in feminine and masculine dynamics. Very cool. After almost becoming paralyzed during a football injury in the National Football League, Kian was able to start his new journey by looking at life from a completely new perspective. Through his self-transformation, he has learned how to live life fully, authentically, independent of the love and acceptance he receives from others. And now he's helping people to do the same. So Kian, welcome to the show.
Hello, Kong. Thank you so much for having me, man. I'm happy to be here. I think we're going to have some really good conversation. So yeah, I'm excited to dive in.
I am as well. So just a little bit of background for our listeners. Kian and I, we met at the same gym. And, you know, he was just one of those dudes, just stands out. I'm like, whoa, like this guy is like, where did he come from? Like, you know, I kind of want to know like what fitness program he was on, just because he just had that posture, that body and, you know, that confidence as he walked into the room. And so those are the types of people that I like to surround myself with, just because, you know, I come from a self-improvement business and I know that they're doing something that works for them. And so that's a little bit of background. But Kian, if you could just tell us about just your journey to self-development, and we'll start there.
Yeah, absolutely. So for me, I've always had a drive and desire to better myself. And it didn't start from my parents pushing me. It came from something deeper inside of me. So really striving to be the absolute best, being a visionary, being future thinking has always been something that's been engraved into me. To give a little context into that, when I was 7 years old, I had a honeymoon fund started for myself, for me and my future wife that my mom can recall very vividly. So and that gives any insight into me a little bit more in regard to the pursuance of what I desire and very forward thinking. That's a great depiction of that. So I've always had a desire to improve, be better, but at the same time, find a way to have some excitement and enjoyment for the now. I think that's what it's all about. And I think we're going to dive into some of that stuff today of how I'm able to do that.
Yeah, that's incredible. I mean, of course, you've been athlete and perform at the top level is just an amazing, remarkable thing for the layperson on the street. And so if you could just walk us through, like, what was your mindset like in that journey to give folks to be more interested in, like, you know, how does a top performer perform? Like, what type of characteristics do they need to have in order to compete at that level?
That's a great question. And to before we go into actual tools that people could use, I want to start with saying that I had an incredible example in my grandfather who had the opportunity to go to the NFL. Mm-hmm. So for me, being a young kid, I really looked up to him and saw what he was able to do with his life. And I was able to see that, okay, this is something that's possible, having someone close to me mm-hmm. be able to do it and achieve it. So I want to start with that, in that it's really important to first understand what you really are excited about inside of yourself and getting tuned into that, and then being able to find someone that you know, whether that's in your immediate network or someone around you that is also doing the same or something at a much greater capacity that you'd like and desire for yourself. So above all, it's more important to have someone that you've seen do what you want to do, so it becomes possible in your mind. And I think that's where it starts. Because for me, it's not necessarily about the tools, but a belief system in knowing that I can do it. And then from there, observing as things unfold in front of me and then being able to take advantage of the things that show up as far as opportunity. But the ability to believe that it's possible is probably the hardest part, but the most crucial part. So being able to set yourself up in a way where you can have as much grounding in knowing that it's going to happen is where the sauce is at. And a lot of that comes from making sure that thing that you desire is something that's actually something that you desire, separate from what your parents might want for you or what society might want for you. So that's first and foremost, the most important part is tuning into that, because there can't be power behind it if it's something that you're doing for your family or for your parents. It has to be something planted deep inside of you to really have that spark be ignited. And then from there, once you determine that, okay, this is of me, I can feel it at that soul level, this is what I desire, being able to have people around you that have done it, so you can make it more realistic for yourself. Because then from there on out, once the belief system is established, it's more so getting out of your own way and opening up to what's in front of you. But if that belief system and the possibility of it happening isn't there, then it's very difficult to attract from that place, making it more difficult to take advantage of the opportunities in front of you.
Thanks for sharing that. That's beautiful. You mentioned the belief system. What does that entail? Can you share a little bit more information about that?
Yeah, it's just a feeling inside that says, this is what I'm doing. This is what's going to happen. And in the beginning, it is about being somewhat delusional. And I think that's where people don't, a place where a lot of people don't want to go is they don't want to go to being delusional. They want to stay in more of the grounded, societal, acceptable place. But for each person that achieved anything great, it started with being delusional. It started with saying, regardless of what resources I have around me, regardless of my circumstance or situation, this is what I want. And regardless if my chances are 1% or 0.5%, I'm going to go out and get it and make it happen. Now, getting to that point, like I said, is the most difficult part in understanding yourself at a deeper level and what you desire, so you can get to that point of confidence within yourself to say, hey, this is going to happen. But being able to be okay with being slightly delusional, being a white kid that had a cornfield in my backyard from South Dakota playing in the NFL, is the likelihood of that happening is slim to none. But throughout my time in my life, regardless of my circumstances, I continued to have that dream planted. And regardless of the adversity, I mean, it was shaken at times, of course, but perseverance in those times of adversity is really what allowed me to keep going. But I think at the end of the day, that's really one of the most important parts, is being able to connect to yourself at the highest level so you can have that confidence to be able to pursue it.
Mm-hmm. So,
I'd like to add something to that as well, in that in the personal development space, people talk all the time about establishing what you want and figuring out what you want so you can have the confidence to go after it. But something that happened for me after football ended was I didn't fully know. And for a period of time, I gave myself permission to not know. And if you are heavily immersed in the personal development community, you're probably surrounded by the pressure associated with knowing what you want so you can attract it. But not many people talk about giving yourself space and permission to not know what you want while you don't know what you want, so you can figure out what you want. All right. So what you want isn't born from forcing yourself to figure out what you want. It comes from space and the absence of pressure in the unknown of maybe lingering for a little while until it does become apparent for what you want. So for people that are heavily immersed in the personal development community, for people that are very future forward thinking in their essence, that are always striving to do better, this advice is very relevant for, and right, can actually take some of the heat off of having to figure it out, because you may be pursuing something that actually isn't of your heart's desire, and therefore will not bring you fulfillment that you're desiring from it. So space in being able to not know what you want is a lot of the times a catalyst to knowing what you want. And for me personally, I actually continue to give myself permission to not know what I want all the time. Whenever my brain locks onto a target for what I desire, what I want at the heart level, I feel it and then I let go of it. And I move towards it because that's just what I do in my nature, is I move towards it. But I consistently give myself permission to not know what I want and to be open to what's unraveling in front of me without me having to have this iron grip over what I want and desire. So I think it's also very, very important in when you've learned how to move forward and be forward thinking and pursue things, giving yourself space and permission to not know what you want, to let go of the strong grip that you have over life and to be open to a little bit more ambiguity and randomness and trusting in that that's going to allow you to be able to move closer and closer to what you want and desire.
Yeah, that's great, dude. There's so many things to unpack and uncover through all of that you just said. First of all, it reminds me the idea of attachment, right? Like, it's great to have a goal to aim towards, but the moment we become attached to a thing, a career, a relationship, whatever it is, we become anxious, and if we don't achieve it or retain it, that can lead to depression. And you and I kind of talked about this during our prior conversation. The other idea that I came up to mind was around uncertainty, and you kind of brought that up about just be comfortable with ambiguity and just go with the flow, right? And speaking of flow, like, I find the most joy and happiness at the gym because I get to move my body, one, and two, like, I'm so just deeply focused on my workout routine that sometimes my surrounding is just like, it just disappears. And it's just me against the gym, this environment, and I love it. And so do you have any insight in terms of like that process? Like, how do people get into flow state? How do they get rid of this attachment? Like, there's something that is a desire that we really, really want, but how can we achieve it without appearing as if we really want it, if that makes any sense? How do we get into flow state, this non-attachment process?
So if you're anything like me, when your brain attaches to a target, it goes locked on, moving there no matter what. And there's almost like this like undying chase of getting that thing that everything else kind of just moves out of the way. That's the way my brain works, I would say, in its natural or beginning of my life state.
Right.
And when you're doing that, you're shutting yourself off to how you're feeling and how you're experiencing yourself in pursuit of that thing. And now, to some extent, that can help you gain success, blocking out some of those feelings in your state to pursue what you want. But this next level of success that I believe I've tapped into, and what I show other people how to tap into, is where it's more about consistently checking in to see where you're at, if there's still this excitement towards pursuing that thing, where it's not about putting your head down and disregarding everything entirely in pursuit of that one goal, but more about doing that and then checking in with yourself and seeing how you're experiencing yourself. Is this something I'm excited for? Is this something that really like lights me up, and continually checking in with yourself? Because sometimes you might not even realize that you're moving towards a goal or you're moving towards something that doesn't even actually light you up. And it's not even exciting. Mm-hmm. And so being able just to stop and periodically check in with yourself and feel through it and say, hey, is this thing still exciting for me to move towards? Now, I'm not saying that sometimes it won't feel disheartening. I'm not saying sometimes it won't feel like you're battling against the world. Right? It's not always going to be easy in pursuance of what you want and desire, but it's more about consistently checking in with yourself and seeing where you're at and saying, hey, is there still this excitement towards this thing? Am I still excited for this thing? Am I still excited for this thing? And it's like you talking about the gym, like the way that you talked about that, they're just like lit your heart up and there was excitement in that. Mm-hmm. And when you pursue that excitement of your heart, the universe has a way of, or God, whatever you want to say, has a way of moving things around to support you. And that we met through the gym, right? And I'm sure you've met some other incredible people through the gym or bonded with some incredible people through the gym, which have created some incredible relationships for you, right? And so if you're tuned into that excitement inside of you and you pursue that and you follow that, life has a way of moving around and shifting to support you. Life wants to support you. It does. But if you're completely disconnected from that I would say that God in you, connected to you, is that excitement, that little burning excitement inside of you, because you're just relentlessly in your head pursuing what you think that you want, mm-hmm. you become very disconnected. And that's when you can run into some of those ruts of depression and extreme anxiety, when you feel like you're not getting that thing. Because that's really like the absence of trust, honestly, in itself, is the relentless pursuance in non-stopness of the mental process of pursuing it. That's mm-hmm. the absence of trust. That's telling me you don't trust. If you trusted, you'd let go a little bit. If you trusted it was going to happen, you wouldn't have to hold a strong iron grip over it all the time. And you'd be okay with pursuing your excitement because you know what you want's the inevitable, right? And so I love that you talked about the weightlifting and be able to tune into that and trusting that through you following those things that really light you up and that are exciting. It will provide you with the opportunities that you need to get ultimately what you want, desire at the highest level.
Right. So speaking of competing at the highest level, what can you share with us the transition process from the sports world to now being, you know, a life and dating coach for people? I'm sure there are certain skill sets that you need to have to transition. But what was that process like for you?
Yeah, the business world and athletics is very different. Now, there's similarities, but they're also very different in that in the athletics, I can impose my will upon this. And the effort that I put in is ultimately going to bring me the fruits that I want. Mm-hmm. Right. And I'll talk about the differences in that there's not really the human element in athletics. It's like me versus me. And mm-hmm. I can just put in more time than the next guy. Whereas business, there's much more of a mental component to it. It's not as primal in its nature. There's more mind. There's more calculation. There's more. It's a skill. Business is a skill in and of itself. And so going from an activity that is completely in my body, primal, I just have to effort my way into getting it at the highest level. Like, it's a very different operating system than a business. Business is much more calculated and can be more of a mind game than anything. Mm. And being able to make that transition from one operating system of a very primal effort-based nature to more of a calculated mind-based game was a little bit of an adjustment for me. But that's been the part that I've had to master a little more inside of myself in the last few years to do it. But that was probably the biggest difference is, one is I can impose my will upon it and effort my way into it. And the other one is much more of a mind strategic game.
Right. Well, and of course, not to mention the obvious physical difference too, for being, you know, a footballer compared to a business coach, right? Can you share with my listeners what your process was like from being this, you know, massive dude? I think you were like, what, 215 or 230 or something like that when you were playing for the NFL. And now you've made some, you know, some nutrition changes. And if you could just walk us through how did you transition your body from one industry to another? Like, what was that like? Because obviously this is diet and exercise and fitness is a huge topic for most Americans. So we'd love to gain some insight from you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, my biggest, I was 245, but my healthiest NFL weight was probably 235. And when I say healthiest, that's all on the spectrum as well. So I would say athletically 235, I was my fastest. I could jump my highest. I could hit my hardest at that weight. But outside of the physicality element of it, where you look at me and say, holy shit, that guy's a specimen. Mm-hmm. Internally, there was a lot going on. And so when football got done for me, I wanted to pour into understanding why I was having heartburn all the time, why mm-hmm. I was finding myself just getting excessively tired throughout the day. Why I was gassy. I mean, I was gassy all the, I was farting all the time, man. And bloating was kind of my default state. You know, bloating was kind of my default state. So I wanted to understand that more for myself. And I just dove headfirst into what it is to be healthy from the inside out, instead of just for athletic performance and being an absolute wrecking ball. And I learned a lot. I dove deep into inflammatory health and digestive health. And those seemed to be the foundational pieces that dealt with a lot of these digestive issues that I was dealing with and some of the more autoimmune based symptoms that I was experiencing. So through going deeper into that, creating a protocol for myself, I eventually created a program and protocol for other people. And that was my first step off from the NFL, was working with people on their food and helping them solve some of their digestive and autoimmune based issues.
Mm. Yeah. So, and then also if you could speak about longevity too, that's also another hot topic. Of course, for some of the young folks, you know, it's all about, you know, building muscle and looking great. Of course, the physicality is important, but we also have to focus on the internal factors too, right? Because we're more than just what we look. And so what's your take on just longevity and you know, how can we get people to also focus on that part when it comes to fitness and lifestyle?
Yeah. That's a very complex question, because on one end, there's a desire to be as physically beastly as possible. And on the other end, there's a desire for longevity. And I'm not saying that they can't work in synchronicity, but there is sort of a different operating system when it comes to both of them. When it comes to longevity, it's more about slowing down some of the body systems. When it comes to building muscle and burning, it's speeding up your body systems. And longevity is based upon a lot of how fast your systems are working over an extended period of time. So that's why fasting and doing intermittent fasting, it actually slows down some of the systems, the rate at which things are burning, to be able to allow for your systems to work over the long run. It's like a car. You run a car all the time, all day, every day, and it's burning, your metabolism's really, really high and revved up, the faster that car is probably going to get worn out. So being able to find that balance between the two is tricky, but it's like, in my mind, it's like, I have an idea of what I want and how I want to look. And I'm currently in the process of gaining weight again, and I'm eating more than I had before. And I'm having a few of the symptoms that I had during that time. But for me, that's the trade-off. Mm-hmm. Is that I want to be a little bigger right now, and I'm okay with what may come from it. And I'm really tuned into my body now, where it's, if it starts to get a little worse, then I'll dial it back. But the trade-off between the two can be a little tricky. I would just say, get obsessed about learning about it. Mm-hmm. Like that's what I did. I'm like, I want to know more about this for myself. So I just got obsessed about learning about it. And like, what better thing could you possibly spend time on than learning about the health of your body and the longevity of it and how you want it to look right now? Like there's not a lot of things that are more important than that basic fundamental thing that you have. So really best advice I can give is just to get obsessed about learning about it. And that's where there's so many different directions that I can go with this, right? With the intermittent fasting, with putting on muscle. There's so many different topics of conversation, but really at the end of the day, it's having the desire to learn more for yourself and diving into what that looks like.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. What's your take on coffee? Do you think that, so there's, I was on this podcast earlier, there was, the host was talking about like intermittent fasting, and I believe intermittent fasting because it's worked for me. I do it 2-3 times a week, and I'm at my most sharpest state of mind on days when I'm fasting. And And there's also that desire for drinking coffee. And some people are like, oh, well, you know, if I'm intermittent fasting, can I drink water? Can I drink coffee? And, you know, the host was just like, you know, just don't consume anything that has calories. So what's your take on coffee, water with salt? Like, can we intake that on days where we're fasting? Can we not? What's your idea? Did I just open up, a can of worms there, or?
You did sort of, but I'll tell you where I'm at with it is, doesn't really matter. Like that's kind of where I'm at with it when it comes to conversations like that.
Okay.
It's just tuning into your body. Cause I could give very detailed answer on this. If you would have asked me 3 years ago, I would have went in on saying how detrimental relying on coffee is for your energy source and what that does to your body, what it can do when you become dependent on an outside substance like that and what caffeine does and how it works. Mm-hmm. But there's some people that live the longest in their lifetime and they have a cup of coffee every day and they're doing just fine, you know? So if you're someone that's addicted and dependent, I'd probably take a season off and away from it. But if you're using it as a performance tool for yourself that you feel like is benefiting you more than it's hurting you, mm-hmm. then go for it. But if you're tuned into your body and you're noticing some certain systems in your body aren't starting to, they're not functioning properly and your sleep's getting compromised substantially and you're noticing yourself being more anxious, and you're noticing yourself not being able to do things unless you have that coffee, I think you might, dish away from it a bit. But if you feel like you have a healthy relationship with it and you're not dependent on it and you're not constantly thinking about needing it to do things or to be a person, like need coffee to be a person in the morning, and you're sleeping just fine, go and have your cup of coffee, mm-hmm. you know? And so really it comes down to tuning into yourself and where you're at. And it's kind of the same thing as when I was talking about pursuing what you want at the highest level, it's tuning into you and not making it about just pursuing that thing or making it about coffee or not coffee, but it's where am I at with the coffee? Like, am I not able to have a conversation with someone until I have coffee? Well, maybe I should deal with that. Maybe I should go deeper into that and understand why that is and try to find out, not just use coffee as a mask. Am I having issues sleeping? Maybe I should do something about that. So really it's just like tuning into your body and checking in with yourself and seeing where you're at and seeing if it's actually benefiting you compared to trying to just learn from an expert if I should or shouldn't. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Right. I think I get your point. I think everybody's, physical being is just a bit different, and a product that could work for the masses may not work for the few. So it's important to be careful as we're going about talking about products and services or anything that could benefit us. It's easy to generalize and simplify things, but I think you make it a good point that we, at the end of the day, it's really about checking in with ourselves, our mind, our body, and see what works and what doesn't. For example, some of my workout friends, they could work out in the morning because that's when they're most creative, and they love working out in the morning. I'm not a morning person, so I'd rather do my workouts at night. And that seems to be working for me just fine. So everybody's body and mind is a bit different. So I get that. We're going to go a little deeper now. I'd like to touch on the concept of impact. What's your definition of impact and how do you go about making positive change in people's lives?
Oh, this is a good question. I like it. I have a different take on impacts than probably most people. Like most things, I think I have a little bit of a different take on it. And I like to see impact as more of a byproduct rather than something that I'm pursuing. Mm-hmm. So I don't actively pursue impact. I pursue desire of my heart. I pursue things that I'm excited about. And when I do that, I notice that people around me benefit from that. Right. And so, because if I make it about impact and I say, I'm living my life for impact, that puts a contingency on my ability to feel okay. And that if I'm not pursuing impact, then I'm not feeling good about me. Mm-hmm. And I see a lot of people do that. They'll make impact be the center focus of their life. So when they're not doing that thing, they don't feel good about themselves, or they feel like they should be doing more, could be doing more, no matter how much they impact. Right. And so for me, it's more about tuning into the greater level of desire for what I want to do with my life, and allowing the exemplification of me doing that, the byproduct of that, to be impact. People are inspired by what I do and how I decide to live my life. People get to be on calls with me and do sessions with me because it makes me excited to do it. But I can tell you this, if it wasn't exciting for me to do certain things that I'm doing that people would call impactful activities, I'm not going to do them. Mm-hmm. And for example, you know, I'm an incredible coach that impacts a lot of very powerful, influential people. But there's times that when I take time off, I don't feel like it's my obligation to do so. I do not feel obligated to serve or impact people. Absolutely not. My only obligation is to my greater sense of excitement and desire inside of my heart. Mm-hmm. So for example, last year I took 2 months off. I did underwear modeling in Colombia in November and December. I didn't coach at all.
Interesting.
And guess what? Right. And guess what? I inspired a lot of people because they're like, holy shit, Keenan, I just thought that you just had to relentlessly pursue this one thing and I couldn't deviate from that. I'm like, no, that's not true. And so it inspired them to be more consistent with pursuing desires of their heart when they saw me going and doing underwear modeling. So impact is so subjective. I don't like to put impact in a box of activities that I think are impactful or not. That's me trying to be smarter than I think that I am. And I allow my desire to be something that reflects impact as a byproduct. No matter what I'm doing, I am coming from impact. So actions that I do aren't things that are confined to being impactful. Whatever I do is impactful. Mm-hmm. So that's sort of the place that I come from. So I don't depend on me having to be impactful to feel good about myself.
Right. So it seems like you have to do some sort of internal workings to really understand your place in the world and how you show up. And when it comes to impact, it sounds like what I'm understanding from you and hearing from you is that you have to find what makes you, your heart happy, right? You talked about like happy at the heart, right? So my follow-up question to you would be, is that in a way, and I'm going to challenge you, is that in a way selfish because you're doing something that makes you happy, whereas impact is more so what can I do to change people's lives for the better and help people? Or are you saying that we just have to find our place in the world? It doesn't matter if we're serving ourselves or others.
It's incredibly selfish. Like literally the essence of what I'm teaching is coming back to self, because my methodology behind that is when you tune into self and you deliver the permission to allow self to pursue its excitement, you'll realize that you're not separate from others. And so by pouring into you and that excitement inside of your heart, it's actually pouring into the heart of others. And I don't like to look at pursuing the help and impact of others as something that is beneficial, because that's neglecting self. And so it is selfish, but actually it's the most selfless thing that you can do. So inherently, like, yeah, by definition, you are pursuing selfish desires of the heart. But by doing that, you're allowing yourself to shine in this way that other people get inspired by, and that other people are able to receive the overflow from. And so help coming from a place of pure desire, because it's coming from inside my heart, I think is more powerful than me saying I should do this thing because I need to. There's not a lot of power in that. I would want someone to help me, not because they feel like they should or because they feel like they're it's their duty to do so. I want them to do it because that's what makes them excited to do.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm not saying that I don't help others or impact others. If somebody was following me around and watching my life, they'd be like, dude, you are impactful as fuck. You're helping other people all the time, right? But I don't look at it that way. I'm not actively doing that. I'm pursuing my heart's desire. And sometimes it happens to be that I'm impacting people. And sometimes it happens to be that I'm helping people, right? But I'm not making it about my impact. I'm not making it about making sure I'm serving others.
Yeah, so what I'm hearing from you, and that's beautiful, by the way. So I'm going to try to simplify all that you just said, in a more condensed version, just so that I can have a better understanding of your perspective. So of course, ways that we can go about, influencing people in a positive light is one, if we could show up authentically, tap into our, North Star or purpose, whatever it is, and you really focus on our essence and how we want to live our life, we give others the right to live their truest, authentic version of themselves. That's point one, I think earlier what you're trying to say, is that correct?
Beautiful.
And the second is that you can make an impact in other people's lives if they want to, but it shouldn't be a unnatural process. Like, they have to want it for themselves for you to make an impact in their lives. This is the second point that you were trying to get at. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
So yeah.
Removing the veil of obligation. Mm-hmm. And I think there's like this fear, and it's sort of a Western based concept of control, mm-hmm. in that if we don't make people and tell them that they should be this way of helping others and impact, that people won't. Mm-hmm. And I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I think that's a mechanism of control that's built off fear. Mm-hmm. So I believe at the core, if we allow people and give people permission to pursue desires of their heart in the greatest capacity, they will have the natural inclination to want to impact and serve. But mm-hmm. if you make it about serving and you make it about impact, that takes away from the beauty of the randomness of mm-hmm. that essence of a desire.
Right. Right. And, whose right is it anyway to tell people what they should and shouldn't do, right? And so, that comes from a place of judgment, which you and I talked about, and also, a place of I'm almighty and proud of myself, and I should tell you what to do. And so it can create a hierarchical system. And so I think what you're trying to get at is that the process in of impacting people, it should be natural for oneself, and in ways that we go about helping other, influencing their behaviors, changing their mindset, whatnot. Which reminds me, what's your definition of success?
What is my definition of success? The ability to pursue what I desire. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not like a full-on metric, but it's just a frame of being, of hope that's there in pursuance of whatever I desire. And that hope, being able to keep and maintain that hope in a world that has so much that's thrown at us at all times. And there's so many things put in place to take away from that hope. I think the capacity to keep and maintain that hope, mm-hmm. in pursuing what you desire is success.
So does that tie into happiness, fulfillment, the ability to pursue whatever your heart desire? And the reason why I'm asking is because, so when people think of success, they often think about achieving financial greatness, having the ideal car, ideal house, ideal wife or husband, family, kids, whatnot, right? And you and I kind of touched on this earlier. It could be more than that. We have to broaden the notion of success, because to some people, it's not about that. It's about relationships, the quality of your relationships. It's about, you know, are you living a meaningful, fulfilling life, right? Like, I think I shared this with you earlier. You know, we could be, you know, the person that's climbing on the mountain and be at the top of it, but only to look across the landscape to realize that we were climbing the wrong mountain. It wasn't the right mountain. We were on the wrong mountain. And now we have to climb all the way down and then, you know, climb all the way up to a different mountain. That's where our true happiness is. And so that analogy, I use it because it's similar to, you know, the conversations I've had with successful entrepreneurs through my day-to-day work, you know, my mentors, you know, who are, you know, multi-billionaire, you know, investors and entrepreneurs that have shared with me through their wisdom that you can achieve financial success and, you know, have, you know, a great car and all that stuff. But all of that doesn't matter, because if your health is not at priority, you're basically, you know, nobody, because you have to take care of yourself, right? And the second is the quality of your relationships. At the end of the, you know, our life, we're not going to say, oh, I'm grateful for, you know, an amazing house or an amazing car. We're going to say, I'm grateful for the relationships that I have with my wife, my husband, my kids. I wish I spent more time with them. And so I guess I wanted to get your take on, you know, you being a top performer and helping top performer perform at the highest level. You know, what are those conversations like when it comes to success?
I wanted to touch back on that idea of keeping and maintaining hope, and why that's like success. And I believe depending on your amount of hope that you have, a lot of the times determine the level of financial external success that you're able to have in relationships, in your work or making money. And you see a lot of people giving up hope. A lot of people give up hope. And that's why it's so fucking courageous to be able to maintain hope, in that when everything feels lost and everything feels like it's not going your way, and be able to keep that glimmer of hope is what creates the confidence to attract and bring in the information that you need to be able to actually create happiness and joy for yourself. Because if you give up hope, you lose the capacity to learn anything new. Mm-hmm. Then you're just floating dead, which a lot of people are. They're just floating dead objects trying to survive. There's right. No hope. They've given up. It's just this barren wasteland of a life. But there's something with the people that have a glimmer of hope and that never lose that glimmer of hope. And if you keep and maintain that hope, that's the catalyst for everything else flowing into your life. That's the catalyst for being able to create and have incredible relationships. Like, that hope's the catalyst to be able to create the life that you desire with making money in the houses and the cars. So at the foundation of it is the courage to keep and maintain hope. And the longer time that you spend in that place of remaining open and hopeful, the more good things will come to you. And the more that you have the opportunity to build more confidence because you're seeing the fruits of your labor of maintaining hope come to you. And over time, that's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Mm-hmm. And so it all starts, though, with being a delusional, hopeful person. And I said in the beginning, delusional and hopeful. And there's something so fucking courageous about that. The people that can remain hopeful in the face of any terrible situation are the people that end up getting incredible lives. Mm-hmm. So success isn't having the relationships or the money. It's to be able to create and burn that hope separate from any kind of things that happen to you. And that ultimately is the catalyst that you need to be able to have the relationships and the money. But if you don't have the hope, you have nothing. I know a lot of people that have money and that have a lot of success, but they get to that place and they don't have any hope, because all their foundation was put in the idea that those things were going to bring them the happiness that they thought. and their hope is gone. So you can be rich and you can have incredible relationships around you, but you can also have no hope because you believed that the relationships or the money or the success was the thing that was going to ultimately bring you the fulfillment. But to me, it's just no matter what, in the face of all of the successes, all the failures, continually having a piece of hope for good things to come is really where the money's at. Mm-hmm.
Is hope the same as faith? I guess faith would be, in my definition, God, Allah, the universe. Is that your definition, or is that like kind of like in alignment with your thinking? Or how do people
think so?
Hope? Like if people say there's no hope left, like what does that mean, right? Like is it because they don't have a faith that they, you know, that they naturally go to seek hope? Or because to some people they're just not religious, right? I mean, there's how do you explain hope to someone who's an atheist compared to an agnostic, compared to a Christian or religious person?
Yeah. Well, to me, hope is separate from any kind of physical belief system that we have in a greater power. Mm-hmm. Now, having that greater power can help you facilitate some of that hope. Mm-hmm. Right? It can aid in that process if you need it, but it's not necessary. Mm-hmm. And honestly, that to me is one of those powerful forms of hope that there is. And this might be a little controversial, but being able to maintain and keep hope separate from religion, letting go of religion, letting go of a purpose, letting go of impact, and in the face of letting go of all of that, still being able to have and keep hope, that's some powerful shit. Because Right. Then when you add impact and you add purpose and you add any kind of belief in a greater power on top of that, woo, wow.
Right.
So to me, if you can find hope in the midst of not having purpose, in the midst of not having impact, in the midst of not relying on a religious power above you, and then you add those on top, woo, mm-hmm. That's incredible.
Yeah, that's beautiful, man. I love that. You mentioned purpose. What does purpose mean to you, and how does it show up in your life?
Yeah, purpose by definition is the ever-changing excitement inside of my heart that I desire to pursue. And it's not in the sense of, and I think people can use maybe sometimes impact and purpose synonymously. I'm going to for the sake of this, in that people could look at my life and say, dude, you are in your purpose. Like you are living your purpose. And I would say, no, I'm following my excitement and continually checking with myself, give myself permission to not do what I'm doing every single day. And for some reason, I keep showing up and I'm wanting to do it. Mm-hmm. But I'm continually letting go of the need to have to attach to it being the thing. Right. And just allowing myself to continue to show up every day in that place of excitement inside of myself of what I desire to pursue. And as a byproduct, at the end of my life, I'm sure people will look back and be like, that guy was purpose driven. And I'll be in my grave and I'll say, not purpose driven. Right. Yeah. So that gives you a little insight into it.
Yeah. Thank you for sure, man. That's beautiful. I think that, you're allowing yourself to learn and to grow and to evolve. And that is as essence of what I think purpose is, are we doing things that gives us meaning that we love doing? And if we can get paid for it, that's even better. And, we could keep doing it and grow in the process, then we're essentially, living in our truest calling. Because if we're not growing, and we have, for example, in my case, at one point in my career, it was just at a stall. Like, how do I, get out of this hole so that I can continue to grow? And sometimes you have to make massive changes in your life and be courageous to make those changes in order to get you from point A to point Z. And so I think that, you make such a good point about just really being in tune with your body, checking it in every once in a while, ensuring that you're following not just what your mind is telling you, but also your heart, and that your mind and heart are synced and aligned, speaking to each other, because it's what makes you, you. And so, you have such an amazing gift that I know a lot of people can use to ensure that they're, you know, tapping into the space of authenticity and following what their heart desires. Because like you said earlier, there's a lot of people just, you know, living day to day, they're dead inside. They're just waiting to get hit by the bus, and they're not living a life of purpose and meaning. And how can we get more people tap into this, maybe, I don't know, higher consciousness, or, a state of awareness and self-reflection, as you said earlier, so that they can really go for, for those goals or dreams that they have, right? And so I think seeing the impact that the pandemic has had on many folks and, you know, my close friends and family is really shift their priorities. And you know, you also got that whole big resignation, people quitting their jobs and tapping to something that's more impactful and meaningful for them, because they realize that working for corporate America is not their purpose or calling. And so, I think that the work you're doing is just phenomenal. Just a couple more questions I have before we end this show. My next question is, what are the top three advice would you give someone to tap into their essence?
Try a lot of things. Try a lot of things. If you've always done what you've always done, because that's all you've known, it's difficult to be able to know what you want to do separate from what you've always done. Right? So giving yourself permission to explore and try new things separate from any type of judgment that you might have of it, being able to allow yourself to let go of any negative perceptions of things that you feel a slight inclination to do because you think society or other people think it's dumb or not right. I think it'd be really, really powerful. So the permission that you give yourself to not know what you want and to explore in the space of the unknown creates space for you to really understand what you desire. And, you know, I'm a small town kid from South Dakota, and I was a stripper for 2 months in Miami. Now, I'm not saying everybody's got to go be a stripper, you know, and now people come to me for deep, deep emotional and mental recalibration, you know. Nobody would ever expect that I did that, but it's something that was fun and I wanted to try and do. So like I said, I'm not saying everybody has to be a stripper, but give yourself permission to do things that are outside your realm of what you think is acceptable or not acceptable, so you can truly understand what you want and desire for yourself. So that would be number one. Second,
you mentioned earlier about,
I think that's it. I don't want to name three. I just want that one. Like, I think that's like one of the, that's like the biggest one. Like, that's like the biggest one, right? Like, expand outside of who you believe you are right now in this moment and allow yourself to see yourself as not a confined being that is put in a box based off of being dad, husband, friend, mentor, but as nothing in just a space by yourself, and tune into that and ask yourself, what do I want to do? Like, what is there inside of me? What desire do I have inside of me to go do? And that's what it's about. That's how you can start to tune into that place. And eventually, before you know it, that's how you're living. You're living in that space. But if you're forever confined by the labels that you have on yourself of being John the baker, who's this dad, who is this friend, who is this husband, who is this son, it takes away from your capacity to tune into that heart space of what you truly desire for yourself. So by allowing yourself the permission to strip away the labels and the titles of who you believe that you are up to this point in your life, and tuning into the space of the absence of definition, you can have some really interesting dialogue with yourself that may surprise you, and it may feel weird, and it may feel wrong, and it may feel disappointing, or it may feel funky, and it might feel not you, but that's exactly it. That's the point. And so the more comfortable you can get of being in that space of the inspiration that you have that might not be you, it's not who you've known yourself to be, the more aligned you're going to become with yourself, and the more you're going to be able to show up in that incredible way that's undefined by labels, that is really what everybody wants the capacity to do.
Right.
Is to do that.
Dude, that's so remarkable. And thank you for sharing. I think that, you know, we have to tap into the space of, you know, being expansive and testing things and trying new things. That's the beauty of the, you know, of life, right? It's not the journey. It's not the destination. It's a journey that counts, as people say. Right. And so we have to, you know, continue to evolve by trying new things, and not put ourselves into a box by assigning ourselves identities, which limit us. I like to think that we are, you know, unlimited spiritual beings living in a limited, you know, human experience, is what, you know, a lot of the, you know, spiritual leaders are saying. And I think that's true. We are, you know, we have greatness in all of us, and it's up to all of us to tap into that space, acquire the mindset, the tool set, you know, the skill set to really, you know, make, you know, the best of what this beautiful life has to offer us. And so I love everything you said. If people want to connect with you, where can they find you?
Yeah, thank you. And just a last comment, bringing a full circle about almost everything that I've talked about today, being able to maintain hope and act on inspiration, that's a sauce right there. I think you'll live an okay life if you're able to maintain those two things. But you can find me at kianloggy.com, and I'm sure Kong will put the spelling of that in the show notes. Yes. Or you can Google me, and you'll find a lot of articles and podcasts that I've done. So Kian Loggy.
Including underwear modeling and
yeah, if you dig in far enough, you'll find some of that. You know, I'm sure you will.
I actually
that's how far people want to go.
That's awesome, man. I love that, you know, you're living your authentic life and doing what makes you happy. And at the end of the day, that's what the show is really about, is to inspire people to do what makes them happy. You know, it sounds selfish, but it's actually inspiration to others, to give them the permission to do what makes them joyful and alive. And we need more people to become alive and shine their light into this world with so much negativity that surrounds us. So Kian, thank you so much for your time and sharing your amazing insights with my listeners. And folks, I encourage you to find him, get in touch with them, and just have a chat. And you know, you might be surprised some of the things that he can share to make a positive impact in your life. Kian, until then, thanks again for your time.
It was my pleasure. Thanks for having me on, and thanks for facilitating such an incredible space for all of this to come through. So thank you.
Definitely. You're welcome, man. Take care.